You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Recently, Meta, the company that owns Facebook, has won a copyright case against 13 authors over the unlicensed use of their work to train Meta's Llama AI models. The case, referred to as Kadri vs. Meta, resulted in U.S. District Court Judge Vince Chabaria ruling that Meta did not violate copyright law. As this case is a first of its kind, as AI becomes more prominent across the globe, this has raised the question of the grey area between copyright infringements and the use of AI. I spoke to Joshua Yuvraj, a senior law lecturer at the University of Auckland, about this case and what this ruling means for the future copyright claims, not only internationally, but also here in Aotearoa as well. In general, how is AI using copyright material?
So what happens is the AI company will identify material that it wants the AI model to be trained on, and that AI model will essentially analyze that content, whether it's images or words, or in this case, entire books, and break it down into statistical patterns. And basically what it's doing there is it's learning the statistical likelihood of patterns so that when it is asked for a pattern, it knows what's the likeliest response. So for example, if you ask it to generate an image of a black cat, then it would look through its data set, which presumably has been trained on billions of pictures of cats and black cats, and it would identify the likelihood of what it's producing to be a black cat statistically, and then it would give you that image. So it is essentially a large statistical predictor. And the issue with the copyright, where copyright comes in, is whether or not using it in that way to train the AI is copyright infringement or not. And that's what this case and the other case that judgment has been handed down in were about.
As this is not a class action case specifically, the ruling will only affect the 13 authors and not any other author that has had their work used to train different AI models. What is the feasibility that heading forward that this will change for other authors and artists overall?
Difficult to say. Number one, you're right. The Meta decision, the judge was actually quite sympathetic to authors and the broader point of whether or not AI companies should have an exception under U.S. copyright law called fair use to train the AI. And the judge emphasized that this was not a broader judgment. Another judgment involving a company called Anthropic was a little bit more favorable towards AI companies. They basically said that copying, which is done for the purpose of training the AI, that would constitute what's called fair use, which is a broad exception in U.S. copyright law, which we don't have in New Zealand. We have a narrow one called fair dealing. But in summary, we don't know how broad these rulings will have in their application. We have to wait and see, especially if either the authors or the AI companies take it all the way to the Supreme Court. So there's still a way to go, although these rulings would have generally pleased the AI companies.
What implications could we see from Meta's win in this case?
Well, I think we'll see any authors or author organizations bringing lawsuits being far more judicious in spelling out the harm that they will or project they will suffer. That was the main issue that caused them to lose in this case. The judge granted summary judgment against the authors or in favor of Meta, and that was simply not necessarily because Meta had made the best case, but because the authors had failed to say that the market would be unduly diluted by AI. The authors basically said that, well, there's a sort of harm that will occur, but they didn't really spell it out in enough detail or give enough evidence to support that. So the next time an author group or an organization on behalf of authors brings a lawsuit, especially in the U.S., they'll need to show that what exactly will be the harm that they suffer. And while there is a difference in the U.S. doctrine of fair use versus a much more narrower doctrine of fair dealing in the U.K., Australia, and New Zealand, which covers only uses like research or news and reporting, and in Australia, parody and satire. So you have to fit it in one of those categories. The US rulings are likely to have at least some influence on the way that, judges in New Zealand, Australia, and the UK and other common law jurisdictions consider these copyright training dispute issues to the extent that they arise. And in the UK, there is currently a lawsuit trial ongoing between Getty Images and Stability AI. So that one is one to watch certainly for New Zealand space, because our Copyright Act is much more similar to the UK one than the US one.
You've mentioned New Zealand's copyright rules. Are we starting to see similar conversations here in Aotearoa about regulating AI regarding concerns of copyright infringement?
I think there's a broader discussion certainly about AI regulation in New Zealand. I think given that in 2019 or 2018, the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment started reviewing the Copyright Act, and they took submissions from the public. However, that review stalled in about 2021 or 2020. There's been sort of nothing public, but it seems that given New Zealand signed two free trade agreements with the EU and UK, which involved them extending the term of copyright protection that we give, it seems like they were waiting for that to be finalized before they restarted it. And so I have no doubt that once the review restarts, that conversation will really kick into play, especially given that the UK has just closed its copyright and AI consultation over the summer. And they were asking all sorts of questions about copyright and AI. And I made a submission to that. And the last thing I would say is New Zealand is one of the very few countries that has imitated the UK in protecting copyright for AI-generated works, or rather having a provision that may allow that. And I say may because it's a bit unclear whether it will. It was created in a pre-digital era. So all of that to say that the way the UK goes is likely to be quite significant for how New Zealand goes, but that discussion will certainly take place, I believe.
Speaking more to that point, specifically about the UK's Getty and Stability AI copyright case, what can we expect there, and how different will this case work compared to Meta's?
Well, yeah, it will be different in the sense of it involves a broader set of issues. There are issues of things like trademark infringement and other things. But the bottom line is that American copyright law and UK copyright law and by extension the New Zealand copyright law and Australian copyright law is significantly different. So I guess we will just need to wait and see where the judges sort of go with that. Although actually it appears that Getty has dropped its copyright infringement allegations in the High Court. So actually that case is ongoing on other grounds, I should say. So it's sort of difficult to bring these cases, and it appears Getty has dropped the case because the training of the data was done outside the UK. So they found it difficult to sort of make that point. So we don't know is the short answer. We don't know in New Zealand and Australia. We're sort of waiting for a sort of test case to arise. But in the meantime, the US one will be kind of influential, but we'll need to filter it through the lens of our laws and our approach to copyright law, which is considerably different than they do in the US.
Do copyright guidelines need to be updated to cater better towards future cases revolving around the usage of AI?
Yes, absolutely they do. So copyright laws need to better address the issue of, number one, AI training. So is it copyright infringement? Is it not? And if it's a case-by-case analysis, what are the factors that will help us determine that? Because otherwise what you're going to get is creators, songwriters, authors, and artists and actors really upset that their works are being used to train AI. And then the AI company saying, well, this is actually permitted or it's not infringement, and you're sort of just going to get these disputes. Now, what we are seeing actually is increased licensing by AI companies. So what they're doing is they're going to the publishers, and the publishers are going to the creators or the artists, etc., and saying, look, in your contract with us to publish your work, we want you to sign essentially a waiver or a permission to allow train your AI using your work. And we will remunerate you at a royalty rate of, I don't know, 20, 30, 40%, whatever that might be. And I don't know the exact numbers, but it's sort of, some royalty payment. And the question there is, well, to what extent is that fair? Is that legitimate? Are creators being sort of undersold? And so I guess we'll have to wait and see what that contractual practice is, and then maybe what any disputes on that look like. Secondly, we do need to see AI-generated works protection dealt with under copyright law, because what you don't want is situations where someone uses an AI to generate an image or a song, and they, let's just say, for argument's sake, that they work on it. They put in enough of their own effort, they didn't just put a prompt in, right? And then, say, someone else sort of copies it or uses it or reproduces it, and then the argument is, well, that's AI-generated, so it's not copyright protected. And even if there is an argument there or there's uncertainty there, we need clarity in the law to sort of better address that. So those will be some of the things that I imagine the New Zealand Copyright Act review will take into consideration. But, it's very uncertain grounds at this point in time.
And do you believe New Zealand is adequately prepared for future copyright cases with AI?
At present, the law is probably, it needs to be updated. So the short answer is no. And we also need to have a proper understanding, A, of the technology that is used, and B, of the legal landscape that regulates this, both in New Zealand and overseas. Being a small jurisdiction, we do look to overseas jurisdictions for sort of guidance, maybe not sort of binding guidance, but certainly guidance on how a lot of our disputes are adjudicated. And so even though we do have our robust system of law, so I do think, yeah, just an awareness of that is going to be important. But I do think also sort of a broader question that I'm investigating in my research is not so much AI-centric, but really sort of go back to the heart of why do you have copyright law? Like, why is it to protect creators? Is it to incentivize works? What's the value of human creativity? I think those questions are really important and probably questions that I'll seek to sort of bring up with the government when the review comes up. Because I think if you answer those questions at the start, you're sort of more capable of providing balanced policy in response to sort of technological developments. The alternative is that you develop policy that's very technology dependent or circumstance dependent, and then you keep having to change it. And that's really not advisable because it just creates uncertainty in the market.
That was the University of Auckland's Joshua Yuvaraj on Meta's win over a copyright claim for training their AI with unlicensed work and what this means for similar cases heading forward.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.